I replaced all my Lululemon shorts with Bird Dogs. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing, but fit way better. They actually look like khaki shorts, so I can wear them all day, for my morning hike or bike ride to the bar. I can't stop wearing them. Join over 1 million guys who discovered the best shorts on the market. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB. Promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio, this is a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Action-packed Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show. Ari Mirov from My Sports Update is going to be stopping by 20 minutes from now. We'll go around the National Football League with some of the biggest offseason storylines that still remain. And then coming up later on in the program, we'll talk to a former Texas Longhorn, now a part of their radio network calling their games. That's Fozzie Whitaker at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. But first up, producing our extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Kiki.
Hot Take Kiki.
I got to start off with the NBA today. And you've had three players so far with the offseason now officially underway in the NBA. The draft right around the corner. The NBA champion officially crowned earlier this week with the Denver Nuggets hoisting their first ever Larry O'Brien trophy. The parade in Denver was today. And throughout the postseason, really throughout the entire season, because the NBA regular season, I always feel weird calling it irrelevant, but it does feel like it's the third important thing, the least important thing, I should say, when it comes to the NBA calendar. I would say the offseason is number one, then the postseason is two, and then it is the regular season three. That may not be always the case, but in the last decade, the last 10 years, that's the way that it does feel, that the Real Housewives really of the NBA is kind of the feel, as if it's a reality show where, is this player going to get annoyed? Is this player disgruntled? Is he going to leave? Is he going to demand a trade this offseason? Who's going to be the big free agent acquisition? And some years there are big names on the market. Other years, it's really more so, okay, which star is going to get disgruntled and then force his way out? And there's been three players, one that has been mentioned for the last 4 or 5 years. The other two, I would actually throw Bradley Beal as well as someone that's been mentioned for a while, but it never seemed as if we were going to seriously progress in those trade conversations for Bradley Beal to be winding up on another team. So you can group Dame and Bradley Beal together, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal together, because the more you think about it, even though they're different players, their situations, even though Bradley Beal is a few years younger, are very similar in terms of, we're always talking about, are those players going to get traded? Are they going to go to the Philadelphia 76ers, the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, the New York Knicks, whoever the team may be? And we keep on sitting here year in and year out, and there's not ever any movement. And then the other player that's been thrown into the discussion, which I think it's a bunch of nonsense. If you actually believe that the Pelicans are going to consider trading Zion Williamson because what's going on away from the court, where it appears that Zion Williamson is sleeping with like everyone in America, that's just a joke. He is not getting traded, you know, because there's a lot of people coming forward saying that they slept with Zion Williamson, and you have the lady Mariah Mills just continuing to tweet about her relationship that she thought was serious with Zion Williamson. But when you look at the Zion Williamson situation, you can make a logical argument why the Pelicans would trade him, because he's under contract. He has a lucrative contract. He was supposed to be all that. He was supposed to be a megastar in this league. When he plays, he's really damn good. He shows you that potential. But he's been in the NBA now for the last 4 years, missed an entire season, and the other three seasons has barely been on a basketball court. So if you want to tell me the Pelicans are just going to cut their losses here and they're trying to improve that situation and upgrade that situation, okay, I'll listen to that. But don't give me this nonsense because he's sleeping with a bunch of different people that all of a sudden, oh my goodness gracious, let me throw my hands up in the air. And all the audacity of Zion Williamson, and that's why he's going to get traded. So I don't want to poo-poo the Brian Windhorst report and the Brian Windhorst conversation from yesterday, but it was thrown in that the off-season drama that he's been having, that's just a load of crap. There's no way they're going to trade him just because of the quote-unquote drama on social media surrounding Zion Williamson. But with those three players, Damian Lillard, it's a standstill. Zion Williamson, a big part of that Brian Windhorst report was they're looking to move up into the top five of the draft, where they currently sit, I believe, at 14 right now, the New Orleans Pelicans. So we could kind of get that answer next week because they're going to want something in return right away. I don't think if it's not associated with the draft pick for this year's draft that's already solidified with the lottery already well behind us and the draft happening next week, I would venture to say that if Zion does not get dealt at the draft and before the draft, then he is going to be a member of the New Orleans Pelicans next year. But the other two players in Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal, I find to be a lot more compelling. And we start with the Shams Charania report today that Bradley Beal and his relationship with the Washington Wizards, not that it's in a bad spot, but they are expected to work together on a trade should team officials elect to reset the roster. And we've already seen the speculation begun from the Shams report. Miami has been talked about. Other people have said the Milwaukee Bucks. I've seen the New York Knicks floated out there as a possibility as well. If I'm Bradley Beal, and I've said this for a while, and I don't usually advocate for a star to demand a trade and force his way out, but there's certain times I make an exception. I've done that for Dame, even though I appreciated the loyalty by Dame Lillard. We're past being loyal at this point. Now I just think it's insanity by Damian Lillard to keep on trying to give the benefit of the doubt to the Portland Trailblazers. Sure, I admire you want to win a championship in Portland, but eventually you got to realize that the organization, the Portland Trailblazers, just flat out stink. And I can't trust anyone that they bring in right now to turn that team around and turn it around quick enough where you're going to save the remaining prime years of Damian Lillard's career, and then Dame could eventually, you know, hoist that Larry O'Brien trophy. He's definitely deserving of it, but is it going to happen, and will it happen with Portland? No way. No shot. So, with all that being said, I look at Dame, and it feels like we're still in a standstill where he has played around a little bit. He's played the game. He has taken the bait at times and has speculated on his future. But whenever you allow that situation to just marinate a little bit, you keep on looking and you keep on hearing and seeing that Damian Lillard, no matter what he says and how he could be, I don't want to say passive aggressive, but at times a little misleading where it seems like he's letting on that he's opening up to accepting a trade, there's always that other domino that immediately falls after it. My preference still is to stay in Portland and win a championship with the Portland Trailblazers. And if I'm Bradley Beal, I'm kind of looking at what happened with Dame, and I don't want it to get to a point in a few years from now when you're 33, 34, where it's you're still undecided and you still don't want to be viewed as the bad guy, which everyone's past that with Dame. I don't think anyone would view him as a bad guy anymore, because I think a lot of people would see the logic in wanting to finally leave Portland and appreciate how loyal you've been for so many years. But the same thing can be said with Bradley Beal, where sure, he got paid, and he got paid a king's ransom, and he's the only player in the association right now with the no trade clause, which when I read that today, I did find that to be a little bit surprising. I would think in an era of player empowerment and how much power players do have in this league, that somebody else in the league would have a no-trade clause. But for the last few years, and I know Bradley Beal has not held up his end of the bargain, specifically the last 2 years, because he hasn't been healthy. But I do like that this report is out there, because it does seem right now Bradley Beal being on the Washington Wizards, whether he's healthy or not, is just a giant waste of time. Because that team is nowhere to where they should be, or nowhere where they could be, to make Bradley Beal say, okay, we're going to be a really dominant team, and this could be a team that I'm going to win with and go on to maybe try to capture, I don't even want to say an NBA championship. How about just getting to the second round of the playoffs, or just the playoffs for the matter of that fact? So I look at the Bradley Beal report today via Shams Charania. It's the start to the end of Bradley Beal's time with the Washington Wizards, because I know the way that the report is worded, that if the team officials elect to reset the roster, they'll work with Bradley Beal. I believe that gets the ball rolling, and that starts to point to the direction that the Washington Wizards are heading in. And if you're someone that needs someone to be productive, and Bradley Beal, see, he's confusing because the last 2 years he hasn't been healthy, but he's a good scorer. He plays good defense. He's still young. He's still in his prime. I know the big if is health, but if he could be healthy, and I do think a new situation, one, I don't want to say that he didn't want to be in Washington with the Wizards, because he's been loyal for a while, but a new situation that excites him, I would be really intrigued to see what Bradley Beal could bring to a basketball team, because I don't want to call him a great player, but I do think he's a very good player. And if you look around, the three teams that I've seen mentioned the most today, Miami, it would be a really good fit because they need another guy to complement Jimmy Butler. Sure, Bam Adebayo is a really good player. I just think Bam Adebayo, if you look at, ideally you want three top players to win a championship, Bam is more of a three. You know Bradley Beal can be a one, but Jimmy is the alpha there, so Jimmy's your one. If Bradley Beal is sitting there at the number two role and he's your second best player, I think that improves Miami immensely. And we've seen Miami get to two NBA finals under Jimmy Butler. And whenever they get to the finals, you notice the talent deficiencies and just the disparity of talent from a team like Denver compared to a team like Miami, or a team like Los Angeles a few years ago and a team like Miami under Jimmy Butler. So I think for Miami, I feel confident in saying that they'll land either Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal. If I was a betting man, I would bet that it would be Bradley Beal, because once again, until I see Dame at a press conference, at a podium, wearing a different jersey, with how much loyalty he's displayed to Portland and how he keeps on giving them the benefit of the doubt, it's almost, okay, I'll believe it, even though it should happen, I'll believe it when I see it. And then you get to the other two teams, if let's say I'm wrong there, that Bradley Beal doesn't wind up in Miami, or Dame Lillard goes to Miami instead, or maybe Dame doesn't leave and Bradley Beal's the one guy that's really sought after, I'll be intrigued to see what Milwaukee will do and the Knicks will do. The Knicks, Hickey, and I know that you're a New York Knicks fan, would that be the end of RJ Barrett? Because I know that the Knicks fan wants to get rid of Julius Randle. You do have Jalen Brunson, who's your best player. If they're going out there and getting Bradley Beal, is RJ Barrett a part of that trade? Because I've also read other things that the return for Bradley Beal may not be as rich as what people would assume that it would be.
And that's because he has a no-trade clause, the only player in the NBA to have a no-trade clause. So he could basically not only say, hey, I want to go to the Knicks, but also I want to make sure, like, you know, they still have a lot of talent when I go there. So, hey, I don't like what they're offering. If, let's just say, they keep RJ Barrett, then I'll approve the trade. He really has all the leverage right now. So I think it kind of depends on if, you know, Beal wants to play with RJ Barrett, kind of wants to have him a part of the team. Because if he does, I think it's very easy for Beal to say, I want to go to the Knicks and I want to make sure RJ Barrett's there and he'll be there.
Yeah, and I do think Bradley Beal, to be clear, is a better player than RJ Barrett. But when I got to hear Miami, I go, okay, what would they be getting back? Tyler Hero and picks is probably the thinking that I did go with there. But when I heard the Bucks and the Knicks, I said to myself, oh, man, that probably means RJ Barrett and Chris Middleton then would be off the team, Hickey.
For the Bucks, Chris Middleton makes sense because they kind of play the same position, Beal and Middleton. if you will. So it makes sense if you're Milwaukee to go a little younger there. But yeah, it's a little different with Barrett, but still, yeah, it all. It's kind of funny to say that basically one player, and we kind of joke that, you know, players run the teams anyway, but for Bradley Beal, he truly is making every single angle of this deal whatever he wants it to be.
All right, so I'll make my predictions right now. Zion Williamson will not get traded, and I really do believe if he does not get traded by the draft next week, then he will be back in New Orleans next season. I want to say that Dame is going to get traded, but I think we're still in that cycle of Dame puts out that front that maybe he'd be willing to accept a trade, then walks it back, then we'll put out that front again, then walk it back. So until I see Damian Lillard traded, I'm just not going to believe it. So I do think, even though it'd be insanity at this point, that Damian Lillard will be back in Portland next season, even though I'm vehemently against it at this stage. And then when I look at Bradley Beal, I do think he's getting dealt. And we could talk about the Bucks, we could talk about the Knicks, but I do think that drive for Miami and Pat Riley's going to do whatever it takes to go get Jimmy another player. And in a market that's probably not as robust as in years past, I do think Bradley Beal would fit really well in not only what Miami wants to do, but making Miami a better team as well to try to get them over that hump of being to two NBA finals and now finally getting another Larry O'Brien trophy back to South Beach. So I will say Zion stays, Dame stays, and then Bradley Beal will be off to Miami to put his toes in the sand.
Damian Lillard, to me, definitely stays. Beal definitely getting moved, and I do think Zion will get traded.
Where do you put Beal then on?
Miami Heat.
Okay, so we're in agreement there. Do you want Beal if you're a member of the New York Knicks?
He's definitely about what they have, but I am definitely skeptical of his injury history, along with the fact that he's getting paid a boatload of money right now. Both of those scare me a lot.
So watch, Karl Anthony Towns will wind up on the New York Knicks.
No, please don't.
Go, New York! Go, New York! Go! You're not on board for Cat?
No.
Leon Rose used to rep him.
Not
There's
at
a
all.
Connection there. And no. I told you Jalen Brunson was going to wind up on the Knicks because of the strong connection that Jalen Brunson has with Leon Rose's family. So it wouldn't surprise me if Cat winds up with the New York Knicks. Oh, that'd be great. You know what? I would get you a Karl Anthony Towns jersey there, Hickey. I already got you a Russell Wilson jersey. I got you a Quinton Nelson jersey. I would dig deep into my pockets to go get you a Karl Anthony Towns jersey with the New York Knicks.
I would not
Knicks.
Wear it. It would go, I'm not kidding. I'll be honest with you, right in the trash.
Oh, stop it.
Right
you,
in the trash.
You Knicks fans haven't had a lot of good players. You don't have the right to throw a jersey in the trash.
For Karl Anthony Towns, right in the trash.
I do think they're going to try to trade him, though, in Minnesota, because it makes no sense to have Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns on the same team. And you also just gave up so much to go get Rudy Gobert. It seems like it's probably the right time, even though Towns is a better player, Karl Anthony Towns, than Rudy Gobert. It seems as if now would be the right offseason for Minnesota to deal Cat.
Especially when the experiment they tried did not work.
No, it did not work. And whoever would have thought that actually would have worked. I was scratching my head on that deal and still am to this day. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. What's the future of the Minnesota Vikings? Who's the third best team in the NFC, and where will DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook land? We'll talk all about that, all things NFL, with Ari Mirov.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of NFL storylines right now, so we'll get to as many as we can with Ari Mirov, who does a great job covering the NFL for the 33rd team. You can always follow his popular Twitter account, at MySportsUpdate. Ari, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm doing well, Zach. You know, we're here in the month of June. Usually it's supposed to be much quieter in the NFL, but of course the NFL never sleeps, and as you said, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, when we start with DeAndre Hopkins, I'm a Patriot fan. I feel pretty confident that they're going to find a way to land him. I know he was at Foxborough today for his meeting, and he was with Tennessee last week, I think it was on Sunday. What does your gut tell you on where DeAndre Hopkins is going to land?
Yep. I mean, it's probably the biggest name free agent out there right now. To have him on the market in June usually does not happen. And, you know, he's in with the Patriots today. It actually just concluded about an hour ago. And it sounds like it went well. I mean, he posted on his Instagram a picture of himself with Matthew Judon. Of course, he had some familiarity there with Bill O'Brien. And people have wondered, you know, the ending in Houston was so sour. What makes Bill O'Brien possibly want him back? So clearly they possibly met today and talked it out, and we'll see where that goes. But for me, you know, things could definitely happen where he does sign very soon. But at the same time, a lot of teams, you know, front offices, coaches, players, this is now going to be their vacation time. You know, people are going off right now. And for Hopkins, he doesn't have to sign right now. There is really no urgency to do anything. It's not like he'll be on the field for minicamp or anything. So if he wants to, he could continue to take his time, see if there are other teams who want him to visit once they get back to the facilities or something like that. Or he could wait, you know, for a potential injury to happen, which happens every year at training camp. We see it all the time. I mean, we just saw one right now earlier this week with the Jets signing Adrian Amos, who was on the market all season long. They had Chuck Clark suffer a serious injury, and all of a sudden Amos finds a team who was willing to pay him a one-year $4 million contract, which he was not getting up until now. So he could take his time if he wants to, but so far he has two teams that sound like they have some interest in him.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the Jets, because Robert Saleh clearly flirted with Odell Beckham Jr. along with Joe Douglas. We all saw it at the league meetings. But then when DeAndre Hopkins was made available, the Jets were like, okay, we like our wide receiving room. We're good. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I think that might have to do more with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers tried to say that there was no official quote-unquote wish list, but there are players who he wanted the Jets to at least look into, and one of them was Odell Beckham Jr. The others were, including Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, who they did sign, and they looked into Odell, and I think they did have some interest in him, but they definitely were not going to pay him the one-year $15 million he got from Baltimore, and it looks like on Aaron Rodgers' wish list, DeAndre Hopkins was not on that list, and everyone knew he was available for trade all offseason long. And on top of that, Hopkins kind of made it clear in his I Am Athlete podcast that Rodgers isn't one of the quarterbacks he wants to play with. So it sounds like both players kind of don't have that much interest in playing with each other.
Which is just bizarre, because Rodgers is a great quarterback, Hopkins a great wide receiver. You would think they would be a perfect fit together.
Yep. I mean, you know, especially for Aaron, where you are going to the Jets and it's a one- or two-year window, you want to get as many weapons as possible, and it sounds like he's fine with Lazard and Wilson and Hardman and Cobb and all those guys they have right now. They would have been okay adding Odell. I'm sure, as I mentioned before, they weren't going to pay him that much for him to join that loaded group, but Aaron, we know, is friends with Odell. I mean, we know that he's added some of his friends, and I would just guess that he doesn't have much of a relationship with DeAndre, and he realized the situation with the Jets right now. They are fine in that receiver group, and it's not a must to add someone like that to their room right now.
And I'm just going to guess here, Ari Mirov. Also, Aaron Rodgers, I know Hopkins was out first, and then after that followed Dalvin Cook. I think Dalvin Cook is going to wind up with the Jets. That's what I've been predicting. Do you think that has a good shot of happening?
I wouldn't rule it out. I know a lot of people have been mentioning the Dolphins and the Bills and the Broncos. I haven't seen much of the Jets talk out there, but I definitely wouldn't rule out the Jets as a team that will have interest in all of this. I do know that Dalvin is looking to take his time. He is looking to get a contract, unlike some other players who would be getting contracts at this time of the year. So he does have $2 million that's already fully guaranteed from getting released in Minnesota this year. But that money offsets with whichever deal he will sign here in free agency. So I would imagine he wants to get paid at the very least $5, $6, maybe even $7 million. Maybe even more, whatever it is, but he wants to get a legitimate contract. But as you said, I would not rule out the Jets, and actually would not surprise me at all if they end up being at least a finalist in the running for Dalvin Cook.
Getting to Dalvin Cook's old team, Ari Mirov does a great job for the 33rd team covering the NFL. You can always follow him at My Sports Update. Minnesota was 13-4 last year in the regular season, but they're not as good as what their record stated that they were, and we kind of saw that in the postseason when they lost to the Giants. No more Za'Darius Smith, no more Patrick Peterson. Now Dalvin Cook is out. How do you kind of view the Vikings heading into this season?
Yeah, you know, when last offseason, when they hired a new GM, Quezia Del Fomenta, that was a very outside-the-box hire. What I mean by that is that he wasn't really your traditional, you know, scout-by-trade GM hire. This is a guy who, you know, used to work in Wall Street. He's very into analytics and numbers. And many people thought that they would change the way they operate. And last offseason, they really didn't. They actually kept all those players around. They even added more players like Za'Darius Smith and Jordan Hicks, and they went for it. And as you said, they were 13-4. They made the playoffs. They won a lot of one-score games, but ended up losing in the first round to a Giants team at home in the playoffs. This offseason, we're finally seeing Kwesi put his vision for this team. As you said, they moved on from Cook, moved on from Thielen, moved on from Eric Kendricks. Those are three guys who are franchise cornerstones. They traded Za'Darius Smith. They let a couple guys leave in free agency. So he's now finally putting his own fingertips on this roster. And the thing that came out yesterday also, which was interesting, is that Kirk Cousins will not be signing an extension here this offseason, which means now he's slated to become a free agent next year. So this is a team that is in transition basically on the fly. And, you know, I still wouldn't discount them as a good team going into the season. They still have a lot of good players, but they're finally moving off all those players that were there for so many years, those core players who were there during the Rick Spielman era. They're moving those guys out, and we're finally seeing what Kwesi wants to do with this roster. I think next year is really the pivotal year where we finally really see the vision that he has when it comes to adding players to this roster, who is the quarterback he's going to want, and those type of things. So the Vikings should still be a good team. I don't really know how sustainable it is to win, what was it, 8 or 9 one-score games doing it again this year. So they're going to have to find a way to separate themselves in some games or not have those teams come back to them the way they did last year. But we're finally seeing a different Vikings team after all those years of having those players in the building.
When I hear all those things about the uncertainty with Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook no longer there, maybe some regression based off the great record that they had last year, I think it's imperative that they better get a deal done by week one with Justin Jefferson. Because, Ari, the last thing you want in on some uncertain times this season is at the end of the year him to be frustrated and not want to be back with Minnesota.
No, you're absolutely right. There's probably two big extensions that they have to get done this offseason. One is Justin Jefferson, who more than likely will become not just the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, but I would expect it to be by a wide margin. Right now, it's Tyreek Hill. It says $30 million per year, but really it's $25 million per year when you look at the real numbers. I would not be shocked if Justin Jefferson is aiming to get a true $30-plus million per year on his new contract, and the Vikings have to figure out a way to make sure they lock him up for the long term before there will be some more significant changes in that franchise. And the other one is T.J. Hockenson, who they traded for last offseason from Detroit. He is also entering the final year of his contract. They gave up a second-round pick in that trade. He was very, very productive for them in that offense, and he might be aiming to become one of the highest-paid tight ends in the NFL. So they have two big deals to get done. Now, I'm pretty sure those two guys are part of the future there for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and for Kevin O'Connell. But those are two big deals, very complex deals, and they could potentially both be market-resetting deals. So those are two things that are going to be priority here once they get back into some negotiating here after they get back from some vacation.
I think one of the more fascinating questions right now in the NFC, we know Philadelphia is the best team and then the 49ers are number two. If you had to pick a third team in the NFC, who do you think right now on paper is the third best team in the NFC?
So who'd you say was number two? Said Philadelphia and who?
The 49ers.
Yeah, I would probably agree with San Francisco there, even though really nobody knows what their quarterback situation is right now. It's such a difficult one to say. Let me think of the air. Like, I want to say Dallas, but they've kind of let us down so much in the past where it's like, I don't really know if it's them. You know what? Let me go with another team in the NFC West. I mean, Seattle has, I think, shocked everyone last year with what they did, and it was pretty cool of them. You know, there was so much talk during the draft about, you know what, yeah, we signed Geno Smith, but that contract, even though it was reported as a 3-year, $105 million deal, really it's a 1-year deal that they could get out of it if he doesn't play well. Well, they didn't draft any quarterbacks, and they give even more help, where they add Jackson Smith and Jigba. They add Devin Witherspoon at the 5th overall pick, added some more players there in the draft as well. I mean, they really surprised everyone last year, and it sounds like, you know, this is a roster that only got better this offseason. I mean, one of the things that was a big problem for them down the stretch was the interior defensive line. They signed Draymond Jones in free agency. So they've added a lot of talent. And I know some people are still not fully maybe sold on Geno Smith, but he pretty much did it all year last year. And again, he gave him Jackson Smith and Jigba as well now, along with Tyler Lockett, along with DK Metcalf. Kenneth Walker was second in Offensive Rookie of the Year voting. They even had another running back in the second round as well, because we know how much Pete Carroll loves to run the ball. So I think Seattle, people should start giving them a little bit more respect, especially in the NFC, like you mentioned, which is really wide open after, you know, Philadelphia and San Francisco.
Yeah, that was my answer. Last one for Ari Mirov right now. How did you react to everything that transpired this past week with the Buffalo Bills and Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't want to overreact, but when a head coach who, like Sean McDermott, who is so measured at the podium, usually really doesn't tip his hand at all, comes out and says he was very concerned, like, that raises your eyebrows, right? So it was a bit odd to see that. I'm not fully sold that everything is fully good right now and it's all resolved, because, A, we've seen Stephon Diggs do this in the past, but the reality is there is no way of, like, getting out of that contract if this really gets mayhem. They restructured his contract in March. He's under contract no matter what. You really can't trade it, because the amount of dead money that would hit would be way too much and extreme, especially for their cap. So he's going to be there this year. But Josh Allen kind of tipped his hand and said there's a communication problem. They got to do better there. So knowing Buffalo and their front office and their coaching staff and how great they've been over the years, I'm sure they'll figure it out. But this is a player who you really have to make sure it doesn't spill over, because whenever it does, like it did in Minnesota, and we have Rick Spielman here on our team at 33rd team, like, whenever it spills over, it's difficult potentially to control him. So they're gonna have to make sure they keep that in house and make sure it doesn't boil over the way it did right now. But it sounds like they've done a little bit of a better job of controlling it, and hopefully it stays that way come training camp, because if it doesn't, it can get a bit noisy in Buffalo.
They pump out a lot of great content on the 33rd team. Just did see a conversation they had with Bill Belichick. Make sure you check them out at the 33rd team FB. And also make sure you follow at My Sports Update for all the latest on the NFL with Ari Mirov. Ari, appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Anytime, Zach. Thank you.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So that was a clip that got a lot of reaction from people not only outside the company, but inside the company. And a lot of people, especially DA, then started to refer to Hot Take Hickey as the bad boy of radio. I'm just wondering, Hickey, are you going to show face tomorrow at the big station event? I'm actually on Long Island today because I got to be up early tomorrow to get ready to pay off my bet that I did lose in football seasons. I'm going to be valeting a few listener cars tomorrow, dressed up as Matt Rhule, the Nebraska head football coach. So I'm paying off that bet tomorrow over in Babylon at Mraz's family's bar, Bob's Bar. And there's going to be a bunch of listeners, bunch of people from the station going. Are you going to show face? Because a lot of people have been inquiring in the last 24 hours, and I feel as if they think, like, I'm your publicist here, where they're asking me, is the bad boy of radio going to be showing up to Bob's Bar?
Well, I wasn't invited. So that's...
What do you mean? The whole company's been invited. If you listen to the network, everyone's been invited.
See, I don't know. I felt like I don't want to show up and then be like, oh, Hickey's here. Like, not like, what are you doing here? Because I get it, but it was one of those, I don't know.
Trust me, there will be other people that show up.
I'm kind of weird about that.
There will be other people that show up that are not even full-time on the network that we'll look at and we'll be like, what the heck are they doing here? But you would be more than welcomed and accepted showing up to Bob's Bar. I just think you don't want to get up that early and go out to Long Island. That's what I think it is. You're not a company guy. We kind of realized that when you blew up the holiday party this year.
Well, I mean, sticking with the bad boy of radio persona,
you're
I think I got to be, you know, kind of keep that going.
I'm just sorry. I'm sorry here. It's a bad job if you don't go. It's a bad job that you didn't go to company holiday party when, now this one, okay, because it's on Long Island and you got to get up early and then you're hosting the show tomorrow. I still think you should go as someone that's hungry like you are in this business. The company holiday party, though, really showed your true colors when it was five steps away from the newsroom and you still didn't go.
Well, if anything, I feel like it showed my true colors that I'm dedicated to the show so much that I had a lot of work to do, and I wanted to make sure my job was not compromised before we got on the air. That's all. I thought I gave 110% that day.
So did you say that I compromised the show because I attended the company holiday party? Is that what you're saying?
No, each person has their own, you know, own process before the show. I had a lot of work to do that day before the show. And so, again, I could have maybe blew it off. Well, news brief, I got to put some minutes in there. I got to make sure the reads are all good to go.
That takes from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern time?
Well, I got to scour the internet. Make sure that I don't miss any news clips.
Make
sure that, again, that you...
Just admit it. You didn't want to go to the company holiday party. You think you're hot, you know what? And you didn't want to go and associate yourself with every other person at the company that's not on the level of Hot Take Hickey, the bad boy radio.
No, that's not it. I mean,
100%.
I was definitely
jerk.
Busy. And also, a small part was just, I see everyone there anyway. Everyone that I, like, I know.
You make a lot of excuses.
No, I'm being honest. I saw Pat Boyle. I see Pat Boyle all the time. Do I got to go now to a company party to stand next to Pat Boyle and talk to him about the same things we talked about here? No.
A lot of executives, though, there. You could have rubbed elbows with the executives.
I'm very shy. I mean, I've got to work on introducing myself
that's
to people.
A problem.
But, yeah, I would have definitely stayed in the corner. I would have talked to the same four people I know. And after an hour, I'd be like, okay, I got to go back to work. And then I would have realized, wow, I got a lot of work to do. I got no time left. And you would have been upset because it's like, well, why is everything done? And then I would
have been
shooting the crap with the same guys I see all the time.
You've now been the producer for how long here on this show officially?
3 years.
3 years. It's really been 3 years?
November 2020.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I guess things go by very quickly when you're having fun. When have I ever been genuinely mad at you, though? I've never been mad at you.
But I would have felt bad.
Been mad at your opinions, but not mad in terms of the preparation and the product right before the show.
I would have felt bad if I didn't do my all and to get, you know, everything I had to get done.
So
also, the minutes I have to get done, that's also non-negotiable.
So the ego of yours is so big that you needed the red carpet to be rolled out for you to attend Bob's bar, and you needed an invite personally from either D.A. Mraz, is what it sounds
like. No, I just didn't want to show up and, like, I get it. Like, I'm not intruding, but I would have felt like I was intruding personally.
They talk about you enough.
I know, but I'm not on the show. So it's like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to make it about me of, oh, now here comes a bad boy of radio into the show. I know last year Shep showed up and got in a fight with Peter Schwartz. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make it about me, basically.
Okay. I think if you showed up knowing who you are, you would not have made it about you. I think the real reason here is that you're a little lazy and you didn't want to get up that early in the morning. You need your beauty rest before you go hop into the shower and drop a shower no cap video on the good old cesspool of Twitter. And you're not as motivated as you once were. And that's why you're not going. That's the way I interpret it.
Well, I'm in here in New York City. Show gets done at 10. What time are you getting to Sean's house?
I have to be there tomorrow at 5:30 a.m.
5:30.
And I don't want to hear about a long work day, because in football season, there was a few weeks in football season where before I did the 8-hour Eye on Football show, I hosted three and a half hours on WFAN before that. So I don't want to hear the long day excuse that it's going to be a long day for you. I think it's a bad job by you. If we're being honest, and you know me, I only look out for what's the best of you unless we could use it for show content and make fun of your predictions, which you may not love. I think the best decision for Hickey would be to show up tomorrow. You take that with what you want to do with it. You may not think you need to go. I think it is a good look if you show up tomorrow at the network event for our morning show.
All right, I'll put that in my, as Michael Malone said, I'll put that in my pipe and I'll smoke it. I'll think on it.
Folks, what you just heard there is Hickey basically told me to go pound sand and he is not showing up to the show tomorrow. I was very interested by what Ari Muirov had to say about DeAndre Hopkins. Isn't that weird how he basically kind of let off, because he's not wrong in terms of Aaron Rodgers calling the shots in New York. I know it's a little bit different when it comes to a football team, but this is Aaron Rodgers' team right now, and he's right now, I would say, the most important person in that organization. I don't get why Aaron Rodgers wouldn't want DeAndre Hopkins, Hickey.
I mean, unless he's trying to look out for his guy, Alan Lazard, and promised him, you know, hey, you come to New York, I'll make sure you're the number one guy out there next to Garrett Wilson. I don't know. I mean, I'll say this. Do the Jets need a receiver? Like, they're going to add one player. I wouldn't say wide receiver is the place they need. Like, I would argue, I don't know how you feel about this, they
Cook
need
is more
Dalvin
important.
Cook
yes.
more than they need DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, I would agree with that, and I've been saying from the jump that I think Rodgers is really going to, and probably already has, recruited Dalvin Cook, and I do think Dalvin Cook, this is just what my gut tells me, is going to wind up with the JETS Jets. And yes, Breece Hall was a really good player last year, then got hurt. You know we like Michael Carter on this show. He comes on a bunch, always has a great attitude, but he's not an every down back in the NFL. So sure, they need Dalvin Cook more than they need DeAndre Hopkins, but you look at this Jets wide receiving room, it's not a lock that they're going to get Dalvin Cook, even though I do think he's going to wind up being a member of the New York Jets. Sure, Garrett Wilson is the reigning Offensive Rookie of the Year. Alan Lazard, good player. Mecole Hardman, solid player. Corey Davis and Denzel Mims and Randall Cobb, at this stage of their career, it's just odd to me how Rodgers would have been more than fine bringing in Odell Beckham, and clearly the salary just got too rich for them, but there was no interest on DeAndre Hopkins. You're probably not wrong in saying, and I know it didn't happen right away, but they knew that this Dalvin Cook news was inevitable, so maybe if Cook didn't become available, then they would kick the tires on DeAndre Hopkins because he's not signing anytime soon. And since now they're now both available, I don't see the Jets then in like an 11th hour in the next few weeks finding a way to go kick the tires on DeAndre Hopkins.
And especially when reportedly, at least, both players are looking for pretty solid paydays. Right?
Yeah, Bill,
it's not like
pay them.
You know, they're going, oh, $3 million to $5 million, both pretty cheap, let's bring them both in. They both are still trying to get some good value, so it really is one or the other. And if you're the Jets, I think the right move is going for and valuing Cook right now over Hopkins.
And I do believe that DeAndre Hopkins is going to wind up with the Patriots. I know everyone's saying that the meeting was great today, but he doesn't have a contract signed with the New England Patriots. He's going to wait. It makes a ton of sense for him to wait. And then when training camp rolls around, okay, you make a decision right before then. We've only seen two teams right now display interest. That's Tennessee and New England that have both had him in for a visit. I think the Patriots will pay him. I think the Patriots obviously would make him their number one wide receiver, and you could talk yourself into, from DeAndre Hopkins' mind, oh, you're playing with Belichick, so you always have a shot to go win. Are the Patriots a Super Bowl team? Absolutely not. But Hopkins will look at it, money, number one wide receiver, okay, I think we could win here. He'll go to Foxborough.